سلام روز بخير اهلا وسهلا بخير بين ان كاب داون ات ساكم ان ان جود اولد انجلش هاو وي دوينج اول رايت Good to be here this morning. Well, thank you, brother. You're very kind. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Am I right to move this stamp here? If that's all right. It's just, yeah. I can see that Stephen has really warned you about me and my style of preaching because there's hardly anyone on the front row. But don't worry, I will get you anyway at one point or another. It's just great to be here this morning with my friend David from City Church Newcastle. And we're here just to really share some of our experiences. And God has put something on my heart as well to share with you. As Stephen said, I'm Sarush. I'm one of the elders at Jubilee Church in Teesside in the Northeast. I was born in Iran into a Muslim family. Came to Christ around the age of 14 or 15. You realize that time for us has a different concept. It's a watch to you, maybe something that tells you the time. I think to us and to our African friends is more an item of jewelry. I was around, so everything is estimate, it's roughly, so I was 14 or 15, some of you probably know the exact moment you came to Christ, it was after an Alpha course on such a day and such a time, but I think I was 14 or 15, doesn't really matter, but my birthplace is, near a place where quite a lot of biblical events happened. Daniel's tomb is only about 50 miles away from where I was born. So if you keep in scores, 1-0 to me, but you don't need to keep scores, do you? Because you beat Sheffield 5-0 yesterday. So, yeah. It's just wonderful to see what God's doing amongst you all here and to hear about it, really. And just to be in the presence of God, worshiping Him together, just His presence so powerful. There is something prophetic in that and in where God's taking you. So praise God for each and every one of you and for what He's doing here in this church. I was traveling down further south just a few days ago to talk on cross-cultural work to a group of FP students. And it was along a similar theme, and I thought, I need a stop. Somewhere along the lines, I need a good cup of tea. You know, it solves the problems in the world, doesn't it? And that's what I've learned after living here for 16 years, that a cup of tea and a biscuit, of course, it solves all the issues. So I stopped for a coffee, and I started chatting to this lady who was behind the counter, and she said, oh, where you're traveling to? You know, all the normal chit-chats. And I explained where I'm going and what it's all about. And then she said, all right, so you're going to talk about that. But the Bible's in English, isn't it, love? And I said, you could do with coming on that course. No, I didn't tell her that. But yeah. But it's just wonderful that you have a heart and a vision for welcoming people like me into this place, into your hearts, into your homes. And there's so much that God's going to do. It's not something that was invented by men. It was in the heart of God. And God has been really interested in people coming together from every nation to worship Him. Amen. And we can see that right from the moment where the church was born as well, people hearing the word of God in their own languages, and also people coming together from different nations. The integrity of the church is built on its view of Jesus and the outworkings of it. And I'm so grateful that you are a great witness to the world out there about hospitality and welcome. You are displaying the heart of God. You are showing hospitality to people like me. And I'll tell you a bit more about myself, and I'm sure many others here who come from places far and wide, who come from places who maybe our homelands, where we were rejected, where we were not wanted, where we were persecuted. And here, in a place that is probably most unlikely to where we come from, we find it. We find that we can call it home. My hometown is full of palm trees. It's got an object similar to this that is shining in the sky. You call it the sun, but it actually works over there. It gives heat and it changes the seasons. I come from there with soaring temperatures in the summer, but on a cold day in Teesside, where there was snow all over, I felt at home. Because people like you, people who believe in Jesus Christ, people who reflect the heart of God, people who are interested in others, people who look at others just like the way that Jesus would look at them, welcome me. And they said, you're welcome into this place. And I had nothing to offer, but they gave me everything they had. And that was when I felt I'm at home. I could call it home. So many of you from other nations, many of you who may have had to flee your home countries are here, and this is your home. You're not a guest here. This is home. You're part of a family. You're here because God's brought you here. There could be so many other places in this country that you could end up in, but this is the place that God's brought you in. So don't feel like you're a guest. Yeah, maybe for the first 3 days. But after that, even in your culture, you know that after 3 days, yeah, you're family. So go and make the cup of tea yourself and grab me one as well if you'd like to. Yeah, there's a prophetic power here in this room. So this morning, I'd like to share with you something that God put on my heart, and it's to do with grace. And I've deliberately put it on the PowerPoint slide with a lowercase g, so we don't mistake it for Grace, that girl that was chasing after King David. You know Shirley, Mercy, and Grace that were chasing after him? But it's grace. I came to Christ at the age of around 14 or 15, received the grace of God, but I didn't really fully know about it until I came across some people who'd received it and were actually living it out. So I'd received it, but it was for me to keep. I'd received it, and because of my background, that sort of legalism was still there. So when I first came to this country and I came across some people and I thought, well, they are different, but not just in a normal way. They're really different, and they've got something that I don't. But it seems like they're okay with it. But I'm not, because I want it too. And I want to receive it. And I came, obviously, in our family of churches, it's a big thing. It's a great thing to preach on. And I realized that it was the grace of God, that they were not just only receiving it, but also giving it out. Many of us may have received grace. Many of us are living in it day by day. And I'm not just talking about common grace, the grace of God, which means that through believing in Jesus, through no work of our own, but just simply saying, I believe in Jesus, and giving your heart, that you've received that, that you are accepted and righteous before God. But many of us may not be really practicing it or showing it to others around us. Now, you may think that, oh, well, it was the Western style of grace that I first saw at work. No, it wasn't, because grace very much works in our culture as well, particularly in the Middle East. There's particularly in Arabic, there's a particular word for it called wasta. And that's the same word that Job used when he was crying out to God, saying, I don't even have a mediator, so I can go to him, so he can take me to God and mediate on my behalf. And we use that a lot in our day-to-day life, but it's abused in some ways. So wasta, technically, is favor. So in a lot of the countries in the Middle East, you're in trouble, you don't really try and sort it out yourself. You ring a wasta, you call for a friend, a mediator. You're in an accident, it's not like in here, where you're very civilized, you get off the car, you look at it and say, oh dear me, and then try and ring your insurance. No, the first thing you do if you're involved in an accident, you ring a friend who knows a friend in high places. So they can earn you wasta or grace. They can earn you that sort of grace and be that sort of mediator. But then they want something in return, unlike the grace we receive from God. He doesn't want anything in return. In fact, you've got nothing to give in return. There's nothing we can do to ever repay him for the grace he's shown us. There's nothing we can do to ever repay him for what he's done. Spend the rest of your life to work it out, but trust me, there's no way you can find that you can do that. The similar situation is Esther and Mordecai. If we could go to the next slide, please. I did mention right at the beginning that events in the book of Esther happened near my birthplace, so 2-0 to me so far. But Esther went to the king and asked for that grace. It was the grace that she was after, the mediator thing, to be the mediator, to be someone in the middle who can bring the two parties together. And that's what God's done for us. Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. So now we are the brokers. We, as the church, are the brokers. We are there to bring people and show them, point them to the grace of God, to what he has for them. Grace doesn't let us down. I'm a member of our local gym, and well, you can tell I don't really use it that often, but I usually go in and I've got a battle in my mind. I'm going to go and do a bit of workout. By the time I'm there, I've just put my swimming costume on and I don't swim. I just go to the jacuzzi. But it's still the gym building, so it still somehow works out, doesn't it? It doesn't make me feel guilty. So I was once in there And I was thinking, oh, there's lots and lots of different songs that come on, some really silly. And I thought, I'm going to memorize the next one, and I'm going to go home and sing it to my lovely wife. And then I was just really trying hard to listen to it, and it said, I will never let you down. And I thought, I've memorized it, but I'm not going to sing it to her, because I will let her down, and I have already. But then it reminded me of grace. Only God can say that to us. He will never let us down. He will never let us down. You've heard it as in the testimony of our sister here when she was praying. He will never let us down. We can't see his work. We can probably not feel it at times. It's not that he's not working. It's just us, our human nature. He will never let us down. And it's not just me saying it on his behalf. It's what's in the Bible. It's in his word. He will not let us down. And his grace is always sufficient for us. His grace is there. We've been given a family we've not been born into. As I said, I was born in Iran into a Muslim family. I had to escape when I was about 21, again, roughly 21 years old. Had to leave everything I knew behind, but God brought me here and he's given me a greater family in number and in spirit. When we came in this morning, I felt at home, and it's the first time I'm visiting Blackburn. But I felt at home because of the welcome I received, because of the presence of God here. So this is very much home to me, as it is home in Teesside. And I'm sure wherever there are people of God coming together, you walk in and you feel at home. So this is home. He's given us a family that we weren't born into, and we didn't do anything to earn that. Just like the Israelites, they were given vineyards, they were given places, lands, that they didn't do anything to earn. But God gave it to them, said, there you go. But they had to do something afterwards. They had to preserve it. They had to work on it. Just like us, we're called to preserve what God has given us. Well, just take a look around. This is what God's given you here in Blackburn. Isn't it amazing? People from different cultures and backgrounds coming together. Where else can you see this? Where else can you see people come together in unity, worshiping God, and for it not to be superficial, for it not to be just about equality and diversity, but really about the heart of God for the nations. This is amazing. Take a look around. This is what God's given you. Now you're going to preserve it and grow it. And it's going to help you with that. All you need to do is just play your part in that. It's wonderful. Now, our African and Middle Eastern friends have got the whole thing, because I've told you a couple of stories, and that's it. But for the rest of our friends, particularly Brits here, I've got 2 points. It's not the conventional 3 points, just to help us. And on that note, I'd like you to turn to the book of Acts, if you've got a Bible. We're looking at 2 different parts. The first one is chapter 11. The verses will be on the screen as well. And the second part is chapter 13. So it's book of Acts 11 and then chapter 13. We'll just jump right into it. I'm going to read them. The verses will be on the screen as well. So Acts 11, 19 to 23. Now those who'd been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. Now, chapter 13. Now, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who'd been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. So after they fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Amen. Right, my first point. Grace brings unity in the midst of ethnic and cultural diversity. We all do things differently, don't we? Come to my home and you'll have to take your shoes off at the door. Not because of me, because my wife will ask you to, very politely. You go somewhere else, things are different. It's because we were born and we were brought up differently in different parts of the world for various reasons. And a lot of the things we do have good things in them, godly things in them. But a lot of the things that we learn from our culture have also got ungodly things in them, things that are not from God, things that are not in line or compatible with what God's called us to. So culture has good and bad in it. But we're all drawn to people like us, aren't we? We all just love to get together with people who think like us, with people who do things like us, because it's just a lot easier. It's just a lot easier, isn't it? But that's not the heart of God, because it's not about easy. If it was about easy, we wouldn't be here this morning on a Sunday. I'd probably be just sat at home looking at inside the oven, just that Yorkshire pudding coming up all the way with the roast in there, and maybe waiting for my curry later as well. That would be easy. Church is not called to be easy. We're called to choose what Jesus chose. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Now, for the joy that God's given us, we'll carry on. If it was easy, Stephen and Lisa wouldn't be leading. They wouldn't be here this morning. There's so many other things they could be doing with their family. But it's great. It's for the joy of God that they're here. So Antioch, a major trade route, it was like a big city. It was a place where everything was going on. Lots and lots of people from different cultures and backgrounds were there. You could see people from different backgrounds, different cultures, different status in society. The difference was they were all in their own communities, sometimes even ghettos. So they'd be together, huddled. Oh, we're all together, aren't we? We're protected from the world outside. We're going to bring up our kids just like our parents brought us up. We're going to teach them everything we learn, and we're going to protect them from the world outside. They'll only go out if it's really, really urgent, and we'll come back in, and they'll have to deal and whatever they've learned out there. And the next community will probably think the same as well. So there'll be lots of diversity, but it's not really multicultural. It's multi-ethnic, multinational. There's just people from different backgrounds together. But God does something really, really wonderful with the church in Antioch. People saw the evidence of the grace of God. Isn't that amazing? We read in the Bible that people out there from outside the church saw the grace of God in there. There was evidence that God is here. So if you went to Antioch, God spoke. If you were at the church in Antioch, you would feel the presence of God. Does that remind you of another place? Do you feel like you're in that place now? Do you feel like you're in a place where the grace of God is so tangible, where you hear people praying out, singing his praises, where people come together? We probably wouldn't really meet each other at all if it wasn't for Jesus, but God has brought us together. Isn't that amazing? As we leave this building, people outside will see us and they'll think, they're all different, but somehow they're all the same. They've got some common ground. And that common ground isn't just a political opinion. It's not just a culture that's brought us together. It's the King of the universe. Antioch was a church that was really diverse. Praise God that I'm also part of a church that is very diverse, just like here. On a Sunday morning, we used to translate the sermon into three different languages. But as time go on and as people learn English and as sometimes they even move on, to other parts of the country, there's no need for that now. There's only one language. But on a Sunday, you suddenly hear a different language spoken out. So sometimes, if you're not from that particular people group, you've got to work out, is this a tongue or is it somebody's language? So it's sometimes funny. You've got to go to someone and say, was it a tongue or did you just pray in your own language? Praise God. The same could happen here. Pray in your mother tongue on a Sunday morning. Lift your voices to him. You don't have to wait for a particular moment. In fact, we're going to have the opportunity. We're going to pray for one another later. And I want you to do it deliberately in your mother language. Because you know English is my second language. And I praise God for it because it's so rich and there's so much written about the Bible in English that you can have access to. But when I praise God in Farsi, in my mother tongue, it's just totally different. It's like, wow, it's a different level. And it's not the difference between the languages. It's what your heart speaks. So we're going to have the chance and opportunity to pray over one another in our mother tongue. We naturally want to be separated, but God wants to bring us together. Look at the type of people in Antioch. And may I remind you, these are the people that are there. They're not just everyone, ordinary people coming in and going out. They're part of the leadership of the church in Antioch. So we've got Barnabas, So he's a Levite from Cyprus. Then we've got Simeon, he was called Niger. Literally, he's black. So he was Simeon. And Luke is very, very careful in giving us the detail. He wants us to know this guy wasn't just an ordinary person from Antioch. Probably a slave. Probably from North Africa. But he's there in church leadership. Isn't that amazing? With a Jewish guy. With Barnabas. And if you think that's great, wait for the rest of it. We've got Lucius from Cyrene. So it's modern day Libya, North Africa. Again, probably another person that didn't fit in into the day-to-day lives of Antioch, of people who live in Antioch. He would probably stand out because you're not from here, are you? You'd probably tell. Then we've got Manaen. Who was he? He was brought up in the courts of the king. He wasn't just another guy who was in the streets out there riding on his bike causing mischief. He was brought up in the court of the king. He was brought up with kings. He had different manners. There was something different about him. So we've got religious guy. We've got royalty. We've got Paul or Saul, who was a Greek-speaking Jew. They were all together, and they'd come together, and they were praying together, and the grace of God was there. And what happened? God spoke to them. And they prayed over two of them and said, on your way, go. You've got other things to do. God's called you to something else. But we're going to carry on until God calls us to something else. This is the sort of diversity we want to see in the church. Not just because it looks nice or it ticks the equality and diversity boxes. No, I don't think we're required so far in the church, even in the laws of this country, to have a multi-ethnic leadership in the church. But praise God that it wasn't an invention by men. It was something that was in the heart of God. God wants us to come together, and God wants the whole of the congregation to be represented on the leadership as well. So he gives the anointing. He will show people. He'll tell you who is gifted and anointed for one particular thing, and you'll pray about them. There'd probably be no other setting where these guys would come together. No other setting. I can imagine that it probably really be odd for them to sit down and have a meal at a restaurant. Because what would you be doing together? They'd all be looking at them. They'd all be thinking, oh, what do these guys do together? It's just not natural. It's not normal. Why you come together? Why do you eat together? Do you not know that that guy is a slave? I mean, come on, don't show him that. That's what he'll be rude later. You'll find out, oh, this guy is a Jew. I mean, he just won't be able to eat everything and anything, would he? I mean, I'd love a slice of bacon with a bit of a ketchup on the morning, but I couldn't have it with him. So I thought, well, we can't really be friends because we're just too different. No, it didn't work that way. They were together. They were living life together. And they knew each other well. I told you, it's the first time I've met many of you here. But it feels like I've known you for many years. A good friend said, if you spend 5 minutes praying with someone, it's like you've known them for 5 years. And that's why it feels like we know each other for a long, long time. Our nearest brothers and sisters are quite often very different from us, are quite often from other nations and backgrounds, from a different ethnicity. And that's the grace of God. Let me give you a story. I was in a country in the Middle East just a few years ago, and I was asked to speak at a church for a group of Iraqi guys. There were other nationalities in there as well, but the main language was Arabic. So I was asked to preach at the Iraqi meeting. Now, that was a real honor, but at the same time, really a big challenge at the time. Because if you're aware, Iran and Iraq had 8 years of war. And usually, just like everywhere else, neighboring countries really don't get along because you're neighbors and you think, oh, well, I'm better than you and you're better than, oh, we do this better. So we had 8 years of war, lots of animosity. But then this guy, one of the leaders, told me, will you come and preach in our Sunday service? And I thought that is a real honor. So I went and spoke, and it was just amazing, really, the grace of God. And just as I was finished, this guy came towards me, really crying his eyes out, sobbing. He came and hugged me and said, forgive me. I looked at him and said, you haven't scratched my car, have you? I haven't got my car here anyway, so no, it couldn't be anything bad. Yeah, I forgive you. No, I didn't. So he was just sobbing his eyes out, hugged me, and just kept saying, forgive me. And then later on, when he settled a bit, I said, what was it? He said, I was one of the first soldiers to run into your hometown with my gun. We raided into people's homes without any notice. As they were about to sit down and eat, as a family in the evening, we raided in, and I was amongst them. I was amongst the first few people to do that. Forgive me. And I thought, oh, I don't really feel what I used to feel in my heart about you people. Had you told me that a few years ago, the reaction would have been different. But all I feel is love. Why is it? It's just by the grace of God. He came and asked for forgiveness. A couple of years later, again in the Middle East, we went to visit the same place with one of my friends at Jubilee, Andy. He leads our worship, wonderful guy. So we went there. He's a tough Teesside lad. I mean, he tries to really keep his face, and I mean, doesn't get emotional because it's not manly. It's just all about beer and football. Tough. So we went to Turkey. We were in a particular place. An Iraqi friend of mine, the leader, really good friends. He came, we were just talking, and we had our hands wrapped around each other. And a couple of friends came and said, oh, can we pray for you? So yeah, go for it. Yeah, it's a Christian thing, isn't it? It's good. Yeah, do it. So we were just together having a chat, and these guys were praying for us. And then as we said amen, I looked up, and there was Andy, the most tough Teesside lad I know, crying his eyes out. So, are you all right, Andy? You don't miss your wife and kids, do you? You're not that. I mean, come on. I know you well. He was crying his eyes out. And I said, what is it, Andy? He said, I saw it. I said, what did you see? He said, as we were praying over you, I saw the grace of God, and God lifted me up and showed me a bigger picture, a vision of what the church is called to bring reconciliation amongst the nations. I saw it. For 2 days, he couldn't just stop sobbing. He was FaceTiming his wife back in England. He said, Jen, I can't talk. Seriously, it's just because God really came and affected him in a way. He saw something. He saw the heart of God in a moment over two guys who'd be enemies if it wasn't for Jesus. Now brothers, hand in hand together, being prayed for. And not only that, God took him one further place. He showed him the bigger picture and vision for the world of people coming together to worship him in different languages. People from other cultures coming together. This isn't an accident. Come on, as Christians, we don't believe it anyway, but this is not an accident. Us coming together here is God's plan and purposes, not only for this place, but for the whole of Blackburn, for the whole of this nation. It's not just an accident that we've come together. It's not just a nice touchy-feely thing that we've come together and it'll finish later on. It isn't. It's what God had in heart for us. As I was doing a bit of research about Blackburn, I hear that you've got a statue of Queen Victoria that was placed in the wrong place. Apparently, it doesn't belong to the boulevard. It's supposed to be in Corporation Park, I believe. So it was placed in the boulevard and it just stayed there. Now, God bringing people from other cultures into this church isn't like that. He didn't mean it for the church next door, or he didn't mean it for another place, and then suddenly it happened here, and he thought, well, it looks good, let them carry on. No, it wasn't an accident. It's his plans and purposes, and each and every one of us are part of it. Now, I'm going to ask you something very non-British. If you were not born in the UK, can I ask you to stand up? If you were born outside the UK, could you please stand up? Take a look around. Isn't this amazing? Isn't it great? Now, what I'd like the rest of us to do is just stretch out your hands and pray for God's blessing from where you are. We'll have an opportunity later. Just where you are, stretch out your hands and pray for God's blessing on these brothers and sisters, including myself. I was born outside here. I don't want... Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Please do take your seats again. Wow. Isn't it amazing? So we've been talking about people from other cultures coming into the church. We can all make it sound really nice and easy, but it isn't. Let me tell you, I'm speaking from experience. As somebody who came from another culture, really scarred and wounded, came into the church, just loved it, it wasn't easy for me or for the hosts. It's got challenges, yes, but well worth it.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus never said it'll be easy, did he? He never said it'll be easy. I mean, he's our God and he was crucified. Come on, if you think it's going to be easy, then you may as well read your Bible again. It's never easy. A lot of us here, in this room even, may have experienced separation. We've experienced the loss of a loved one, or through life circumstances, people walking out in our lives. But every asylum seeker and refugee, every single one of them, have experienced this on a different level. When we lose a loved one, we just think, oh, well, it's a natural course of life. But for a refugee and asylum seeker, fleeing home is bad enough. Having to escape a place where your people, for generations, had lived in, is painful. So we all have wounds. We all have scars of separation. But for those of us who believe in Jesus, for those of us who receive his healing, the scars aren't just wounds that are open. They're scars of victory. Yes. They show that a broken man who leaves his home, travels thousands of miles away from home, finds himself as a stranger, is shown prejudice, can still be used by God, because God comes and does what he has to do. It shows that our sister who's singing the praises of our God, who remembers that she came into this country and it was difficult, that God is faithful. There are scars, but not the sort of scars you can look at and start crying, saying, oh, it's painful. There are scars to be proudly showing the world and say, yeah, this is me, look at it. This was a wound. But by the grace of God and by his hand, I was healed. This is a sign of victory. Amen. He's alive and he's made me alive again in him.
Thank you, Jesus.
So my brothers and sisters, if you're refugees and asylum seekers here, if you're here seeking sanctuary, you're in the right place. You're in the church of God. But let me remind you also, there's a time for mourning, but also there's a time for celebration. Just loved how our brother here was celebrating, dancing. Isn't it great that we're going to have lots and lots of it in heaven? We're going to have people coming from all nations together to worship him. For those of you who, I mean, the extent of your celebration, as much as I love you, my British friends, I don't think celebration or mourning is really one of your strengths. But it's great that we're going to have people jumping up and down like our Brit friends do and lifting their hands, maybe if they feel really jubilant. But we're going to have people like Corey. We're going to have Arabs and Persians. We're going to have Asians coming together worshiping him. It's just going to be great. This is a taste of heaven. So you are having what you're going to have in the future when you live with the King forever. So take hold of it and live it. Take hold of it and declare his promises over wherever you go. Take hold of it. This is what you're going to have in eternity.
Yes.
Now, if you don't like it, I've got an advice for you. Get over it. There's no other way. There is no other way. This is what we're going to have in eternity. And I'm really, really so excited about it. If the church is not the hospital for those seeking sanctuary, if the church isn't a place where people like myself and maybe some of those who stood up cannot be welcomed in, I don't see hope in the world at all for anyone or anything. But praise God that there are churches, that there are people who are there, who give up and sacrifice a lot because they know the vision that God's given them. Now, let me give you a bit of more stories. Now, my brother Colin, I've been talking about you. Can you read this for me, please, Colin? No, you can't, because it's in Farsi. Yeah. Anyone else? Maybe in this row, can you read this for me, please? No, you can't. Okay, great. That's fine. It's not to embarrass you, but it's just to make a point. So this is a Farsi Bible. I got this and I received it. I'm not going to go into all the detail to bore you, but it was through reading this word that I came to Christ, through reading the four Gospels in here that I came to Christ. Now, it wasn't until the 19th century where people like me, my fathers, were able to read this. In 1812, God told Henry Martin, who was from this nation, he said, I've got an important job for you. Will you stand up? Will you go to Persia? What was known at the time as Persia. He went there, traveled there. Now, it wasn't as easy as today's day. You couldn't just get a first-class airplane and get there. He traveled there, learned the language, translated the New Testament and the Psalms into my language. Praise God that because of him, I was able to read the Bible the first time I got in, and I thought, wow, I don't have to learn another language. This is in my tongue. The words were alive. I could understand it. I could hear it. I could sense it. Now, Henry Martin didn't even make it back home. He died on his way back here. He died in Turkey. Now, he's not the only man. Later on, William Glenn, again from this nation, God raised him up and said, go. And he said, all right, I will, because you're the king. He went and completed the whole Bible. Now, imagine if it wasn't for these people. God is sovereign. He can do whatever he wants to. But the fact that two people from this nation raised and said, we will do it. Yes, Lord, we will go. We will do this for you. They went and did it. And because of them, I was able to read the Bible in my tongue. Now, God's still doing the same thing. He said, go and make disciples, didn't he? He said, go to the ends of the world. Now, God is bringing the ends of the world here into this nation. We're in a very fortunate position to see people from different nations and backgrounds on our doorstep. You walk out the street and you can see people from different nations. Now, it's not just that he's brought them here so that we can go and tell them about Jesus. He's brought them here so they can help us reach this nation as well. So if you're from this nation, please allow us to be part of the plans of God. Allow us together to come with you, stand next to you and say, we want to do what God's called us to in this nation. I told you, my friends, you're not guests here in this nation. You're not just here to live a safe life. There are many other places God could have taken you. He's brought you here so you can do what he's called you to. So you can, together with those who may have been brought up here, who've lived here for generations and generations, to reach the people of this country and this nation. To remind people of the legacy that God has given them. I named two people. These are two out of millions of unsung heroes. Millions and millions who said yes to God. We will go. And they did. Now God's bringing us here. So please allow us to be together with you in this. We've got a midweek group called Salam. We have people who speak different languages. I think last time we were singing worship songs in five languages. We meet at homes generally, and we eat together. Eating is often part of our culture and my favorite part. Of course, I won't tell them that. I'll just say that, yeah, worship is my favorite part. But great food and great fellowship. But one of the things we did was, right at the beginning, a lot of the people who came were asylum seekers, and they were given homes in areas of town where they experienced prejudice and sometimes even racism, and they disliked and sometimes hated that area, that particular area. What we did was we thought, God's calling us through the verse in Jeremiah to seek the prosperity of the place he sent us to, because that all depends on that. So let's go and pray for those places. Now, it's really, really difficult to pray for something you don't like. But with these guys, together, we went together in the streets, and we were just declaring God's promises over them. We were just declaring God's goodness, his blessing and his mercy over the households. Not in a weird way. We were just walking and praying as if we were having a conversation. And we came back home, and there was something that had changed in the hearts of those who really hated those areas. They said, God has healed us. He's not only brought us healing, but we just love to keep doing it. We want to go out, and we want to do this. We want to pray for the place he sent us to. Now, I want to encourage you to do this as well. If you feel Blackburn wasn't your home, you were not born here, God's brought you here, then as you go out in the streets, pray over people. You don't need to stop them and say, can I pray for you? As they're walking past you, just declare God's blessing on them so that their eyes are open, so that they would have an encounter. Wouldn't it be amazing for more people to worship God out there in Blackburn. So you are part of God's plan. I think we're beginning to realize that what I'm trying to say is, firstly, asylum seekers and refugees or people from other cultures here are not guests. Secondly, thank you for receiving us. Please allow us to be part of what you do. Please allow us and empower us and encourage us. Sometimes it's hard. We'll make mistakes. What you'll say may offend me because in my culture people don't say that. Or sometimes I may say something that I don't really mean, but because of my broken English it just comes out differently. But it's okay. We can get over that, can't we? Because if we can't, then what are you going to do in eternity? Think about it. Fellow refugees, you're not a guest here. You're here to help. You're here as part of God's plan.
Yes.
The grace of God also not only brings unity in amongst diversity, grace of God also realigns our focus on what He has for us. When people were in Antioch, they would hear God. It's not because of Antioch itself. It's not because of bricks and mortars. It's because of the presence of God, the people who were after Him. Who brought the word to Paul and Barnabas? We don't know. The author of the book of Acts is telling us really in detail who those five guys were, but he doesn't tell us which one of them brought the word. We don't know. That's deliberate. We don't need to know. But what we need to know is that the leadership team there were different. There were people from all sorts of backgrounds, but it doesn't really matter who brought the word. It was from God.
Amen. Amen.
I love the word of God. Are you carrying prophetic promises in you? Are you carrying things that God has put on your heart? Are you really, really passionate about something, but you think, this isn't the place for it? Are you really thinking, oh, I'd love to do that, but I'm just not sure. My British politeness won't allow me to go and say, let's do a cup of tea and let's do it now, because he may have some other plans for all you know. Don't allow that to be a barrier. Are you carrying prophetic promises? Some of you may be carrying things in your heart. Never be ashamed to say that God has called you to a particular people group. Never be ashamed to say God has called me to do this. Of course, God's given you a vision for where you're going. There are places where coffee and tea may be better. There are places where maybe worship is really funky and great. There's more musicians and the PowerPoint slides that just they're working magic on your eyes. There are places where things may be a bit different. But let me tell you, this place, it was where God's called you. This is where God's speaking to you. This is where hospitality and welcome is being exercised and practiced in godly ways. This is where God's called you to. We don't gather to good coffee. Otherwise, yeah, there are lots of other places, but they'll probably have room for 10 of us. We don't gather just to great musicians. We gather to God Himself, who's given gifts to the musicians. We gather to God. We gather together to make out there look like in here. So that out there looks like in here. We gather together to do that. Let me give you another story. Well, the first year when we came to this country, myself and my wife, we got status after very shortly after we arrived and started doing work and studying at university. And the first winter passed and we could really feel it. I mean, I could see my wife. It was in the middle of August. She was sat behind the window and I thought, is she waiting for a parcel? Is she really missing her mom and suddenly just looking outside the window? After, I think, about 3 or 4 days, I went and asked her. I said, what is it you're waiting for outside? She just said, oh, no one. I said, I've just noticed you've been looking outside for a few days. She said, oh, yeah, I'm waiting for the summer. And I said, this is the summer. She said, no, I'm waiting for the summer. I said, this is the summer. So the next year, we decided to actually go and see the real summer somewhere else. We thought the Teesside Airport, I think, had 2 or 3 destinations. One was Aberdeen, Amsterdam, and Alicante. So we thought, yeah, Aberdeen is the wrong direction for the sun, so we go down. So we went to Spain and to a place called Benidorm. Don't judge me. It was we just heard about it. We saw it in the south of Spain. We knew the sun was guaranteed. So we went down. We went there, And I was just trying to practice my Spanish as well, learn a few words here and there. How do you say, I'd like a big portion of this food? How do you say, more of this food, please, and all of that. And we got off the plane, went into the hotel, and I think except the guy at reception, everyone else, including the shops and places, they were Brits. So we went in, and I said to my mom, oh, that place, what's that, paella? Let's go in. It just looks kind of Spanish authentic. It went in. And the guy said, what can I do for you, mate? And I said, well, what is it then? I thought, what sort of food do you do? Full English. Right. Anything Spanish? No, mate, sorry. So they were creating an England outside England. And it was just like being in home, whereas it just didn't really feel like home. Because, I mean, it had the sun, that object in the sky. Now, we are trying to make out there look like in here, but not in a superficial way. Not in a way that looks artificial. Not in a way where we think, oh yes, so we've got an organ here, let's have an organ outside there. No, out there looks like in here when the hearts of people are changed. Yes. When God comes and changes hearts, when God comes and reveals himself to people, when they receive God's and God's grace into their hearts. But they need an evidence of that. And this is the evidence of that. This is the evidence. I asked if you were born outside the UK to stand up, and more than half of you stood up. Isn't that amazing? Now, some people may feel threatened by that and say, oh, they're taking over. Don't worry, they're not taking over. One of our friends got status, and he went to our local job center after 3 months of looking for a job. He went and said, I've only got one question. And the job center staff said, yeah, okay. He said, where are all these jobs? He said, what sort of jobs? He said, you know the jobs that people say the foreigners have come and taken. I want one of them. I want to take one of them. I've been looking for one for 3 months and I can't find one. Where are they? He was furious. Now, we're not here to take over, because there's nothing to take over, really. We're here to help, hand in hand, together. We're a family. Families aren't threatened by somebody going and exceeding what they have. Families aren't threatened by people flourishing in their gifting. Families encourage one another in their gifting. Families, in fact, fathers and mothers build a ceiling so that their kids could go on top, so that their ceiling is their platform. So this is what a family does. If others are taking over, brilliant. Let them do that as long as God's called them to do that. If they're going to stand up on the ceiling and make that a platform for others to come and join them, brilliant. Let's pray for them. Let's pray into that. Let's release them in it. Now, the next bit. If you were born in this country, can I ask you to stand up? Brothers and sisters, you know what to do. These are the people who made us feel at home here. These are the people who received the grace of God and have passed that on to us, to you and I. These are the people who made us feel at home in some of the most unlikely places in the world. So you know what to do. Pray for God's blessing over them. Pray that what they have will be passed on to us as well, so that we can receive the same thing, so that we can have the same grace for those who are different from us, so that we can take part in the gospel with them. Let's go around them. Let's gather around them and pray for them. If you'd like to, you can pray in your mother tongue, but I would encourage you to do that. And then if a couple of you would like to pray out loud, that'd be great. Let's gather around our brothers and sisters and pray for them. It's okay to move. It's all right to walk around.
I just love to worship your name, Lord Jesus. And Father, today, Lord, I pray that each and every one of us will be worshipers, oh God. Because you know what your word said? If we don't worship you, if we don't praise you, the rocks are going to cry out. And because you sent your son, Jesus, to die for us, oh God, we want to praise you. And Father, even as we gather today, Lord, as your people as one people, Lord, with different backgrounds, oh God. I thank you for each and every one of us. And as our dear brother prayed, Lord, and as he preached and encouraged us, Lord, help us to work together in unity, oh God. Unity is strength. Together we stand, divided we fall. And oh God, I just pray for togetherness. I pray for unity. And most of all, I pray for your Holy Spirit to be shed abroad in each and every one of our hearts. Break down every barrier, oh God. Break down everything that rises itself against you, Lord, and what you intend for this church, Lord. I come against it, all of our prejudice, all of our fears, all of our differences, oh God. I come against that, Lord. And I loose your Holy Spirit in this place, and I say, Holy Spirit, just take over, Lord, and just come, Lord, and just dwell so deeply in us that we don't even see color. That it wouldn't even matter, Lord Jesus. None of our differences will matter. Oh, Lord, I just thank you for this family that you've placed us in, Lord. Thank you for Stephen and Lisa, Lord, and, you know, all of our leaders, Lord, who are so wonderful in bringing us together, Lord, and just uniting us. We eat together, we worship together, Lord. I just thank you so much. And heaven is going to be a lovely place, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you would just help us to keep going on and keep encouraging each other, Lord, as we walk this life by faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
For who you are, Father, Lord. We thank you, O God, because we are one with you, Father. We thank you, O God, and we ask you to cleanse all unrighteousness. Anything is not of you, O God, we ask you to cleanse it from our body, our mind, O God. And we ask for your wisdom and your understanding, O God. We thank you for ordering our steps, O God. We ask you to lead us, O God. Open our eyes, Father, Lord, O God. Let us see what you see, O God. Give us your mind, O Father, Lord, and we ask it in no other name. We want to thank you for where you brought us from, Father, Lord. We want to thank you for where you place us, O God. We give you praise, we give you honor and glory, O God, for who you are. We thank you, O God, for your understanding. We thank you for your peace, your grace, and your mercy, O God. We thank you for the family that you born us again into, O God. We thank you because your blood flowed through our vein, O God. We thank you for the love, O God, that we receive, O God, day by day, O God. We thank you for the opportunity, O God, for our brothers and sisters that lead us, O God, in your righteousness, O God. We give you praise, honor, and glory for your family, O Father, Lord. And we thank you, O God. We give you our heart, and, O God, you pour what is due in us, O Father, Lord. Show us your way, O God, your kingdom, O God. We thank you, O God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and praise God.
دگر از پاس دکم وقت هایی که پیدا بخشیم لگال دوستانه لیره کنن لبده درگاه تو خداوند بخیرات نیو دوستانه ما دکه این بخیرات نی که اکثر روشی دکه این که تشریفی نابوی رکنن از سپاس دکه این خداوند لیده نپارینو با وقت تو ساعتی که پیدا پیکو بشه واسه که خانواده لیره کود بینی و پر دوای دعا دکه این بود درگاه تو که لجیان من دست کتوم که او ایشانه که لبده دستی تو ده بابون بنا بون همی بو خود ساعت لما دزانی خداوند اوازیتانه که همانه لهم مبارکی ده هر شکری تو دکه این امید من هی که پشتیوانی تو پشتیوان من بی امید من هی که روناکی حسای مسیح لنا دل من خی لنا جیان من خی برنامه که من دادین دست تو لبرای که بو تو باشه دزانی لخو من اوانده که ما حال داده این با جیان من گر قواتی تو نبی تو گر امیدی تو نبی تو گر هدفک نبی لپیناو تو دا اما نتوانی سر کبیم پرادگاه لده پارینه او که او خوش کو برانه که لیره کانه نزیاتر پی پیوانده کانه پتو ترکی پی ایمانی خوتو حسای مسیح لنا دلیان دا پروشن ترکی که بتوانم جیانه که خوش مهنه بپیک و پروادگاه لده پارینه او که مهربانی و بخشش و لطف اوی که لنا و حسای مسیح دا که خوی گورترین هدیه ما که بوتا قربانی با جیانی ما بختواری ما با همشتیکی ما با دنیا ما با دوار روژی ما پرادگاه لنا او دلی خوش کبرانه دا روشنی که بتوانن جیانه که خوش مهنه بتو لحتا دنیا لو دنیای دا که دا جین بخوشی بجین پرادگاه لده پارینه او که و آوازیه تانی که بسر هم ولع که سکان مسیحی داده لهم ولع تکان داده لهم شونه کنده لحظ نتایجی داده به پروردگار به باش نیشی و یارمتیان دی اصلا کردم بب که پروردگار لذت پاره مو هر وقت خود دزانی که باشتن رجع باشتن جان باشتن سرسای و جان حسای مسیحیت پروردگار بود لب درگاه تو لپاری نو که یارمتی ما دی زیاتر عیسی مسیح بناسین ڕێگا شوێنە کی بنین کە بەختەوەر ژیان لەناو ئاشناون بە عیسی مەسیح ئامین.
Two things I'd like us all to do. If I could ask the band to come up, please. Now, the first thing is, if we could all stand up, please. Now, we talked about unity. We talked about hospitality, talked about God's heart, talked about being a family. And a great sign of that is when we come together to worship, I'd like us as a sign, just as a prophetic sign, to hold hands together, if that's all right. If you're okay with that, let's just hold hands as we sing the next worship song. Wonderful.